wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
It is the morning of April 1st. We will not fool you with anything on this show. We give you straight information and insight from Jeff Diamond, former NFL Executive of the Year. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. This is one of our football shows at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Subscribe. That's the best way to listen. It's free. Or just go to TalkNorth.com to listen. Right, wherever you listen to us, rate us. Thank you to our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore. All right, Jeff. As always, a lot to get to. Mike Zimmer held a press conference, and here's the breaking news. He was in a good mood.
Yeah, he was, and you can understand why when you look at the additions on defense this year after that awful defensive year last year, and he was very upbeat about the additions of Tomlinson and Patrick Peterson and Xavier Woods as a safety coming in to start, and then you add, of course, Stephen Weatherly and Mackenzie Alexander returning to the Vikings for depth, and Alexander perhaps could be the starter at the slot corner, and Weatherly could be a starter at defensive end. We'll see how that shakes out. And then, of course, getting Danielle Hunter, Eric Kendricks, and Anthony Barr back, along with Michael Pierce, put him in a good mood too. So the defense seemingly will be a lot better this year, should be a lot better this year. And I thought it was interesting, Jim, he was also talking about some scheme changes to catch up with some of the offensive minds in the league. And that's kind of an interesting twist, too, if he's going to make a few changes in terms of how he's doing things schematically. So I think there's a lot of positives from his standpoint. And when he was asked about the offensive tackle situation with Riley Reiff leaving, he wasn't too dismayed about that. He felt like he had some options with Rashad Hill, which would not be a good starting idea, I don't think. But Ole Udo is a young guy coming into his third year. Ezra Cleveland was drafted as a left tackle to replace Reiff eventually, so he could move over from guard. They did trade for Mason Cole with Arizona. And Brian O'Neill could perhaps move to the left side. I think he is an up-and-coming Pro Bowl caliber tackle. So, and then, of course, the draft is coming up. There really are several top offensive tackles in this draft, and I could definitely see them taking one of these top tackles, a Sewell or a Slater or Darisaw. There's some really good tackles and also some really good offensive guards in this draft that they could go after. And keep your eye on Vera Tucker out of USC. So lots of options. It's that time of year where there's optimism. And I think the other thing that is getting the coach excited and a lot of the other assistant coaches is the fact that the news came out this week that they're going to be able to have some type of offseason program on the field after last year with all virtual. And so that's good news, too, for the development of young players.
Yeah, and offensive lines have to have cohesiveness. And if you're going to rebuild an offensive line with young players, that will be very helpful. Something John Krasinski brought up on the Viking Update show on this network, which I found really interesting. You know, it's an idea, but it sounds like a realistic, good idea. This is going to be a draft where the first four picks are going to be quarterbacks, where there are going to be other quarterbacks that go fairly high. We know that people go after edge rushers and cornerbacks early if they think they're really difference makers. This might be a situation where sitting at 14, Rick Spielman either might have an excellent offensive lineman fall to him, or he might be able to trade up and get one of the best players in the draft at a position of need.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I remember sitting in a lot of draft rooms and hoping that teams would take quarterbacks ahead of us when we had a good quarterback situation, such as down in Tennessee with Steve McNair and All-Pro. And we were just hoping, yeah, please take all the quarterbacks and let the other position players fall to us. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen for Spielman and Zimmer and the Vikings this year at 14. And I don't know that they're going to look to move up because I think they're still going to have a really good player at that spot. And right now they don't have a second-round pick from the Ngakoue trade. And so perhaps they might even consider moving down a slot or two and trying to pick up a second. Although I never recommend moving down in the draft. I think that there always are good players there, and with their needs on the offensive line especially, and perhaps a little more depth at defensive tackle and at as a pass rusher. I think that they should stay put probably at 14 and not necessarily move up and give up some of their other picks. But I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how everything shakes out. And one of the things I'm going to be watching going into the draft and afterwards is Mike Hughes' situation, mm-hmm. Jim, which we talked a little bit about, but the Vikings have until, I think it's May 3rd, to exercise his fifth-year option. They are not going to do that at $9.825 million, fully guaranteed. And they're certainly better fortified at cornerback now with Gladney, Dantzler, Hand, and Boyd, four young guys. And then you add Patrick Peterson and Mackenzie Alexander to the mix. And even if Peterson's not what he was, I think Mackenzie's is a very good player. He was a really good player in 2019 here. I think one of the things he also brings to the table is the blitzing ability. He had three sacks in one, I think, in 2018, and he's a guy that can make some plays and knows the system, and I think that's good. And I think the other thing that's exciting in the secondary is Xavier Woods and signing him as a three-year starter in Dallas and 70-plus tackles each of the last 2 years, and he's got five career interceptions. So he's a playmaker in the secondary to replace Anthony Harris, and at a lot cheaper salary too. And so I think that was a really potentially positive move for the team. And I'm sure they're going to look to draft some depth at safety too. And I think it's also going to help Harrison Smith in terms of having a good running mate at safety again this year, as he did with Anthony Harris.
I give Spielman and Rob Brzezinski a lot of credit. This is a team that got embarrassed on defense last year. They came into the offseason without any real cap space, and they have filled a lot of holes, and they are one really good draft pick away from entering next season looking like they did really good work this offseason.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me, as they look towards the draft, and I know we're talking about offensive line a lot, but if they could find that edge rusher as a rookie, say first-round pick, a Russo out of Miami or somebody like that, that could really come in and be an impact player and be a double-digit sack guy opposite Danielle Hunter. And they'll have to figure out Hunter's situation, of course, but it sounds like he's recovering well from his injury. Zimmer was talking about videos he's sending and all that. And then, of course, the contract issues, whatever develops there. But I think they'll get that figured out too, and they could actually save some cap room on Hunter if they do a short extension on him or a restructure. But another impact pass rusher, I think, could make a big difference. It kind of reminds me of the Titans team when I first came to Tennessee in 1999, and we had a lot of talent on that team, and guys like Steve McNair and Eddie George and Bruce Matthews and so on and so forth. What we needed was some help rushing the passer, and drafted Javon Kearse, and he ends up being defensive rookie of the year. We go to the Super Bowl, and he had 15 sacks and 10 forced fumbles. So those kind of players can really make a difference, and I'll be really interested to see how they approach this draft. But they certainly can't go wrong looking at one of those top offensive linemen, and I think that could really fill a big need for them.
Personal note, which is also a business note, going to start my own talk show at TalkNorth.com, The Audacity with Jim Suhan. First guest will be Derek Falvey, so we're going to hit a lot of topics. Offer some opinion, insight, but also have some pretty cool guests. And I'm basically going to invite people on that I really like to talk to. It's not going to be 60 minutes interrogations. I'm going to have some people on that can offer some information, insights, but also be a lot of fun to talk to. Please check that out over the weekend. Again, Derek Falvey will be my first guest. Jeff, let's go ahead and thank White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, definitely, Jim. And White Bear Lake Superstore also is Audacious store. They're a fantastic store at car dealership, and I'm always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC. My longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Guttrell, and their great staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and the only place to get the premium experience. And go to their great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com. There's great pricing on the first ever Buick Encore GX, stylish and nimble. And there's an up to 18% below MSRP on 2021 Buick SUVs and a $5,000 purchase allowance deal, plus an additional $250 purchase allowance for current Buick or GMC owners or lessees on 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab. models, plus $500 bonus cash if you go through GM Financial. The White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 van superstore. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut, and they are a certified elite dealer. Visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And we're going to expand Talk North. We're bringing in some really interesting names over the next month or two, including me adding my own show on the network. If you'd like to advertise with any of the shows, this show or any of the others or the network as a whole, you can reach former Twins executive Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. All right, let's get to the 49ers, because, of course, all NFL news is also entwined with what Vikings could or might like to do in the draft and free agents and everything else. What did you think of the 49ers trading that much draft capital just to move up 9 slots in a draft to take somebody they aren't even going to, they're saying might not even play his first year? I find that fascinating and maybe ridiculous.
Well, I think if it's a franchise quarterback, we know the value of franchise quarterbacks, and that's obviously, they've already said they're going to draft a quarterback at number 3. And sounds like the odds-on favorite from reading the tea leaves is Mac Jones out of Alabama, which is interesting because he was kind of projected to be the 5th quarterback early on in the draft process. But he's kind of climbing the charts, and you can't go wrong with a guy that has had a lot of success and won a ton of games at Alabama and been coached by Nick Saban. And so it's going to be really fascinating to see how these quarterbacks come off the board. But San Francisco, yeah, they've kind of told Jimmy Garoppolo, you're on borrowed time, and saying, yeah, you got one more year, you're going to be our starter. But we've seen how that can change very quickly, and especially Garoppolo has missed about half the games the last couple of years with injuries. So I think San Francisco has had enough of his non-durability and is going this direction. So if they get a starting quarterback and he is a franchise quarterback, then no, they haven't paid too much with giving up the extra 2 number ones the next 2 years and a number 3. That's really the going rate for what you have to pay to get quarterbacks these days. We've seen that in some of these other deals that have been made. And so, but very interesting move by San Francisco, definitely. And yeah, they're kind of a scary team when you think about getting all their kind of their defensive guys back, like Nick Bosa, who was hurt last year, and they were just decimated by injuries. And I expect the 49ers to be right back in the mix in the playoffs this season, and perhaps with a rookie quarterback at the helm. But that was a very interesting move on their part. And meanwhile, Miami has picked up a lot of draft collateral in the last few years.
Yeah, they have. They're in great shape. And think of the NFC West. My God, the 49ers are a Super Bowl caliber team. The Seattle Seahawks are always competitive. The Arizona Cardinals look like they're really going for it. And the Los Angeles Rams brought in Matthew Stafford, who might have taken that team to a Super Bowl last year if he'd been there. That division's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, very, very strong division, no doubt. And it's going to be very competitive. And we'll see. I think the team that people are wondering about is the Seahawks right now with some some of the things happening with Russell Wilson, and are they going to be able to stay as a playoff caliber team? I certainly have faith in Pete Carroll and John Schneider to figure it out in Seattle. But yeah, that's a team to watch to see if they may slide a little bit and what happens with Arizona. They've had some really, really good additions on that team, such as JJ Watt coming out there. But again, it's going to depend a lot on the development of Kyler Murray in Arizona, but we know that the NFC West is going to be very strong. There's no doubt about that.
And here's the thing about moving up to 3. It's amazing how many quarterbacks have been missed on in the first round in the last 10 years. And listen, there's a pure logic to going up to getting somebody you really believe in and getting your franchise quarterback and having him play on a rookie contract. I mean, all that is, it's great stuff here, but I just to be devil's advocate, let me throw out where a lot of the best quarterbacks in the NFL were drafted. Aaron Rodgers is 24th, Mahomes number 10, Drew Brees 32nd, Tom Brady 6th round, Russell Wilson 3rd round, Lamar Jackson 32nd, Kirk Cousins 4th round. So it's fascinating that recent history tells you that there's going to be a good quarterback slipping down the tiers, and yet everybody's fighting to get up to be able to take somebody in the top five.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And one of the guys that we've heard some rumblings about that the Vikings could be interested in is Trask out of Florida, who could be a third round type quarterback. So maybe he's the guy that could be that surprise. Who knows? And I don't know if you mentioned Dak Prescott in the fourth round, but that was another one that you could look at too. But and then you think about Goff and Wentz as number one and two overall, and mm-hmm. Winston and Mariota, and really no superstars in that group. They were all top two picks in the last 5 years or so. So I think you're right. But if there's really a guy that is that super talented, and maybe Trevor Lawrence is that guy, maybe Zach Wilson could be that guy at number two if Lawrence is obviously number one. And sometimes there are the Andrew Lucks out there, or the Peyton Mannings, who are the number one pick, who are the bona fide guy, the John Elways of the world. And maybe these guys will fit that mold. We'll see. Part of it depends on where you land and who you end up playing with. And for Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville, what kind of supporting cast is he going to have down there is a big question.
Yes. Now, you've been in all these rooms. You've been in draft boards and meeting rooms. You've dealt with scouts. Which of the quarterbacks do you like? Which appeal to you? And this isn't like, I don't need you to rank them or put a grade on them, but, you know, there's a certain level of gut that goes into these decisions, no matter how much work is done behind the scenes. When you watch these quarterbacks play, who intrigues you?
Well, I think I did watch a little of Zach Wilson's workout, and yeah, he's very impressive with arm strength and mobility. And some people have compared him to Mahomes, which is really something that you don't want to have on your around your neck at this stage of your career necessarily. But I do like Trevor Lawrence for what he's done. I think he's got mobility, he's got arm strength, he's got kind of that panache as a winning quarterback, a national championship type quarterback. Mac Jones doesn't quite have the mobility, but he certainly has the smarts, and I think he's interesting. I think the guy that might scare me a little bit is Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, but again, very athletic and has the arm strength and all that. We'll see how that shakes out. Justin Fields has just kind of had some up and down moments, and I've seen him play great, and I've seen him play not so great. And so he's a little bit of a wild card too, although I'm sure that he's not going to get past probably the top eight. If he fell to a team like Carolina, for example, I'm sure they'd jump on him. And he did have some really good moments in the college football playoffs last year. So I think this is a really talented class. But again, history, as you said, tells us that a couple of those guys are probably going to be busts. And hard to predict right now who it's going to be. And as I said, depends a lot on what your supporting cast is. And with Lawrence and Wilson, for example, if they end up at Jacksonville and the Jets, those are two shaky teams. So we'll just have to see. But that's what history tells us. And I think it is shaping up as really a fascinating draft in a lot of ways because of these quarterbacks and how things are being maneuvered right now.
Yes. Now we have another quarterback who was, you know, who has been a matter of intrigue all offseason, and now things are turning very ugly. Deshaun Watson is being accused by basically dozens of massage therapists and women of him sexually harassing them or sexually assaulting them. So we've gone from thinking that there's no way the Texans could trade him because he's a franchise quarterback on an affordable deal, to thinking, well, maybe he can force his way out anyway. And now you have new general manager, a new head coach, a franchise quarterback who is, you know, we don't for sure yet what's going to happen legally with him, but this is not good. What do you do as a general manager in this situation, Jeff?
Yeah, I think this is what a mess. It is just a huge mess. And think about how his image has just fallen off the cliff in the last 2 months with all these allegations out there. And it just has really taken his trade value to nil. What team could possibly trade for him in this situation? And he's got no alternative but to go back to Houston right now. And if he's actually thinking, I'm going to try to force a trade, it's absurd for him to take that position right now. He just needs to put his head down, go to work, and fight off these allegations if there's nothing to them, or watch his career go down the drain if there is something to these allegations. And it's sad to me, because Deshaun Watson just seemed to be a guy doing all the right stuff, and then all of a sudden these skeletons in the closet allegedly are coming out. And so I think as a GM, you just have to kind of hang tight right now and say to him, you really have no options. And really, you're saying it to his agent at this point, because there's probably not a lot of dialogue with Deshaun until the offseason program begins. And then, yeah, you try to work through the agent, try to work through through Watson himself, and which is hard to do for a new GM in Nick Caserio who has no relationship with him. And it's just ugly, just an ugly situation, and a tough situation for a team to be in, the franchise to be in, and for Deshaun Watson.
And it kind of reminds me, see, Watson had a great reputation. He had a great reputation as a leader in college. He had a great reputation as a player and a leader in the NFL. He seemed to be well-liked and respected. This almost reminds me a little bit of the Darren Sharper situation, where Darren Sharper was, you know, he was a good guy to be around. He was a good guy. He was a very smart player. He was a really good player. He was highly respected. Media liked him because he would actually answer a question intelligently. And then all of a sudden you find out that he's drugging women. I mean, I don't think there's a moral to this story. I don't think we have to draw any conclusions. It's just a reminder that you can think you know somebody from the outside, but you really don't.
No, you don't. And that's where it's really hard for a team and for management and even on the agent side now to have players that you think are you can trust and that you rely on. And then things like this come out and allegations come out. It's just really disheartening, I think, for the sport and for the sports world when this stuff gets out there. And so I hope there's nothing to it, but boy, there sure is a lot of smoke out there right now. And
it's a bonfire at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll just have to see how it all comes out. And it's sad, because there are a lot of positive things going on in the sports world right now, with fans coming back to stadiums, with the baseball season opening, and the Twins being able to have 10,000 fans there, or Milwaukee today, 12,000, whatever, and the Wild and the Timberwolves are going to be able to start having fans, and Roger Goodell's talking about full stadiums this fall, and as more people are vaccinated, and those are positive things after the disaster of 2020, and now pro days are going on in the NFL, and we're excited today at IFA because Rashad Bateman has his pro day at Minnesota. We're hoping he has a great showing and continues to elevate his stock into the first round. And so there's a lot of good things happening. So it's unfortunate to hear about some of these type of stories.
Tell me a little bit more about Bateman and his preparation. Once again, we want to thank White Bear Lake Superstore. Thank Brandon Morton, our producer. Remind you that if you'd like to advertise with the network, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. And again, check out TalkNorth.com and follow us on Twitter to see the audacity as it is released this week for the first time. So how much preparation did you guys work on with Rashad Bateman? Or is he a guy who just stays in shape and he just shows up and does the stuff?
No, he is that type of player. He does have a great work ethic, but the pre-draft period is so important that you can't leave any stone unturned and make sure that he's doing all the right stuff. He was out in Arizona for several months training at a facility there and working really hard and working on his speed and agility and all those type of things. And he is a terrific athlete, as we all know very well from his Gopher years. And been coming back here, he's been doing a lot of work at local facilities, working at Adam Thielen's facility, ETS, and doing some other stuff. So he's ready to go today, and we're really excited and anxious to see how that goes. And even though, as I've always cautioned ad nauseum, these pro days, it's great to see these guys out there, and everybody's getting all excited the other day. Oh, Justin Fields throwing a great deep ball. Oh, all this and that. Well, hey, there's no pass rush, and mm-hmm. come on. What really matters is how did the guy play? Turn on the tape and see how they played. And for Rashad, check out his 2019 season when he's Big Ten Receiver of the Year, and he and Tyler Johnson were lighting things up for the Gophers that year when they went, whatever, 11-3. And you can see what kind of player he is and playmaker he is. Last year was just such an up and down year for everybody, and he opted out, opted back in, opted back out. It was just tough, and he still had a lot of production. So he's been working hard. He's ready to go, and we're excited to see how his pro day goes today at Minnesota.
Can't wait to see him in the NFL, and it'll be fun to keep talking about him from the inside perspective that you have with working with the agency and Rashad and all the Viking players. Thanks to Jeff. Again, check out the Audacity at TalkNorth.com and all the other shows. We appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next week.